Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, August 26th, 2019. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun. And if I'm here, that means Bill's on vacation. In fact, he and Ann head out every year about this time. They're up in Canada, and I hope you are following him on Facebook because he posted some incredible shots yesterday out of the Wild Pacific Trail in British Columbia, some of the biggest and most beautiful trees you will ever see. He'll be posting all week, no doubt, so check it out on his Facebook page. The show comes to you live Monday through Friday on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, or you can catch the live stream or access all the archives at buckmastershow.com. We start off the week talking to our experts during the Monday political face-off. Lots going on this week in Tucson and overseas, and we're going to try to get to all of that. After the break at 12:30, we're going to be talking to Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie, and we know that Pima County never lacks for news, so I look forward to that. Please join us if you have a question or comment. You can reach us on the live line at 790-2040. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, and they have something very special going on right now. Through September 27th, Moe's Gallery is showing and selling the Bill Buckmaster collection of beautiful old prints and maps from around the world. Some of those are about 150 years old. There are about two dozen items, nothing over $300, and 100% of Bill's proceeds from the sale go to the Friends of Pima Animal Care Center. So take a look at a sampling of what's available on the Moe's Gallery Facebook page. I did that yesterday, and there are some wonderful pieces. And, of course, the cause is a worthy one. Moe's is at the corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, next to Copenhagen. It is time for the Monday Political Face-Off, and we welcome Aaron Rottenstein. He is the former treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party, worked with several lawmakers in Washington, and is a certified financial planner in Tucson. Welcome, Aaron.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I had not met you before, and so I did a little research on you, and I love that you came back to Tucson because you loved it and couldn't be away.
No, you know, my wife and I, at the time my fiancé, we started planning our wedding, and so we were coming back to Tucson every couple of months, and it just kind of clicked. This is where we want to be, and it took a few months later to actually get everything together, but we got in the car, we drove back, and we haven't left since.
So. Wow, and now you're raising your kids here.
Yep.
Great. Great place to do it. Also joining us for the first time on the Monday Political Face-Off, but no stranger to this radio station, is David Eppenheimer. He is the chair of the Pima County Republicans. Welcome, David.
Good to be here.
Great to have you.
Thank you, Dan. Look forward to a great half hour.
Good. I talked to you on the phone a couple of times, and we appreciate you being accessible and the rough road it is for Republicans in Pima County, if I may be so bold. I come from the Maricopa County area, where, of course, we all ignore everything south of Casa Grande, and you come down.
I thought it was the Gila.
It's moved, but because the area is growing. But, you know, you come down here, and it is politically and just in lots of different ways. Such a different world in Pima County.
It's a tough world to be a Republican, that's for sure, and to be chairman of the party and swimming upstream as we do all the time, being so outnumbered on the voter edge on Democrat versus Republican, and then of course the independents. So it's
for sure.
It's about a 3-to-1 all total.
And that's a great point with the independents out there in Arizona. It is just wild because who can nail down what an independent is?
Well, that's someone that hadn't quite made their mind up yet.
Yeah. But do they lean, Aaron? I mean, is there any sense of, is an independent sick of either party, or are they just truly independent? Or can we tell where they're coming from or going to?
I think it's actually all of those things. You know, mm-hmm. When we study this on campaigns, you see a lot of times that when people say that they're an independent, what they mean isn't that they don't have a political ideology on one side or the other, but they aren't necessarily as connected to the party that kind of stands for that ideology. Independents, really important in Arizona. They tend not to vote with the same frequency as people that have declared their party. And so the really important thing for independents is to make your case to them, convince them why the things that they believe in are the things that they need to show up to the polls for, and get them counted in your side of the ledger.
So this might be a person who will stand for a candidate but won't necessarily stand for the party.
Exactly. Candidates and issues much more so than donkeys or elephants.
Okay. Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. It's very much a candidate judgment situation where they're looking at candidates on both sides and identifying candidates that appeal to their views on the issues at the time of the election.
Right. And, you know, for some people, and it just bothers me because, you know, we enmesh ourselves. We're already talking about 2020. We have been for actually quite a few months and seeing people prepare for it. But I just know there are people who are making up their minds based on a bumper sticker they see on the way to the polls. And it just drives me nuts. So I don't know if those are low information voters or what, but sometimes I've wondered if it wouldn't be a bad idea to reinstate some sort of test at the polls. I'm kidding. Don't write in. But it is frustrating that some people just go an inch deep on some of this stuff. So big week in Tucson. Democratic primary for mayor is tomorrow. Randy Dorman, Steve Farley, Regina Romero, a lot of money spent on this race. Aaron, any predictions there?
The prediction is, you know, you said it was a Democratic primary, and that's because there isn't a Republican one. The prediction is there's going to be a lot of Democrats that have spent a lot of months thinking about who they're going to vote for. We're going to have a winner come tomorrow, and they're going to be the next mayor of Tucson.
And Ed Ackerley, let's bring in the independent here for a minute. Does he have a shot in heck in November?
Absolutely. And it's going to depend on who the Democrats nominate. I think that's my view. It's not one of the party necessarily, but it is my view that certainly if Regina wins the Democrat Party, all the sensible people in Tucson are going to gravitate toward Ed. They're going to come in strong toward Ed. Regina is way too left for this community, and that's a reflection of the Democrat Party has just gone so far left here in Pima County. So Ed, I think, has a definite path to victory if Regina wins. I mean, people are going to flock to Ed. Now, if I don't think Randy stands much of a chance, and Mr. Farley were to win the primary, it might be a different situation because his politics are not so far left.
So why no Republican in the race?
It's a great question.
Well, there's a great answer. The reason we don't have a Republican in this race is because a Republican, with the way Tucson has gravitated in the last 20 years, has virtually no chance of being elected mayor. The registration situation, as I outlined it earlier, is overwhelming. Situation is, quite frankly, that no Republicans that live in the city limits want to run for mayor. It's a pay cut for most of them. The people that have name recognition have no desire to be the mayor of the city with a city council the way it is. And the way that's going to be, and let's say has been, with the rigged elections in the city of Tucson.
It's just really typical of Republicans to just kind of sit in the corner and whine about Tucson elections. You had a chance to put the election system that you've decided is magically fair on the ballot, and you didn't get it there. And so you're sitting in the corner whining about that. You had a chance to put a candidate on the ballot for not just mayor, but a lot of these city council positions.
We have a candidate in all the city council races that are up for election.
You sat there and you whined on mayor.
We're not whining on mayor. It's a fact.
But David, did you try to recruit somebody for this?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I was out in the trenches recruiting and talking to high name recognition Republicans. The one I concentrated on said in the analysis, I got a family. I can't take the pay cut. Who wants to be mayor of Tucson with a lot of Democrats because you run the place and
because
you want to keep it that way. You have to the argument that you care about the city doesn't hold any water. We care about the city. We're just the third party minority here, and you have to face reality.
So I grew up in Tucson. We had Republican mayors my entire childhood.
That was 20 years.
Because the Republican Party's moved away from not just people in Tucson, but people all across the state. And we've seen the state move left. We've seen the city move left because when they try out Democrats, when they see what they do for the city, Jonathan Rothschild has done a fantastic job in his two terms in the city. And it's no small part because he's had an all-Democratic city council. People see that. Republicans see that. And when they tell you they don't have any chance to win an election in the city, it's because they've seen what Democrats can do.
What we have is no chance to build name recognition with city council members like Rahina has done over her 12 years on the city council, and build a name recognition in order to then run for mayor with a citywide city council election. The city being the way it is, we win in wards 2 and 4 every election. But your overwhelming majority in the rest of the city overrules the voters in those two wards.
And again, if you really thought that was something that we needed addressing, you could have put it on the ballot this November and you didn't. And so you're just whining about it instead of doing something to actually fix it.
There was a committee to put it on the ballot and they didn't get their signatures. That was not a party-run initiative, and it was a bipartisan-run initiative, and they didn't get their signatures. Your argument is the equivalent of saying that statewide we should not have senators or representatives from the LDs voted by the LDs. They should be voted statewide. That is your argument. And if that argument held true, there would be no Democrat representatives in the state of Arizona.
As wonderful as it is to have my opinion explained to me.
Yeah, you would love it that way. Statewide, but citywide, you want to run this place as a dictatorship.
Okay, this is the political face-off. Bill, where are you? And this is Dan Scheer sitting in for a vacationing Bill Buckmaster. And, you know, we're only one question into it, but it's already very good, and I appreciate your answers. We are with Aaron Rutenstein on the Democratic side and David Eppenheimer. And you are listening to the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, next to Copenhagen. And let's remember another friend of the program, Mona's Danish Bakery at Swan and Sunrise. They make special days even more so. Our thanks to Steve and Sherry and the whole crew over there for their hard work and great food. I bought a pie there not long ago, and my friends we shared it with. They're still talking about it. So treat yourself to Mona's Danish Bakery in the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to buckmastershow.com. for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. And of course, you can find them on Facebook. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge. And at moesgallery.com, you can find them on Facebook. And don't forget, now through September 27th, the Buckmaster Collection is on display, benefiting the Friends of Pima Animal Care Center. Go take a look. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, and I'm sitting in for Bill. You've joined us in the middle of the Monday Political Face-Off with Aaron Rottenstein and David Eppenheimer. And I want to talk, turn the attention here to Sanctuary City, something that's going to be on the ballot in Tucson in November, despite your best efforts, David. And Governor Ducey said Thursday that if Tucson passes that ballot measure, it could come with a $100 million price tag in the way of lost aid. David, sounds like a big number.
It is a big number, and actually I've heard that it was higher than that, but if the governor says it's $100 million, then he knows better than I do. That's a for sure. The legislature will deny those funds to Tucson. It's one of the main reasons we were opposed to it going to the ballot. The other reasons are public safety, and of course what it would do to Tucson in terms of attracting new business. You'll see the last Raytheon, you'll see the last Caterpillar come to Tucson if it becomes a sanctuary city.
What exactly do you think these businesses aren't going to like about this?
Well, sanctuary cities are unsafe. That's just not my opinion. You look at the cities that are sanctuary city, led by San Francisco. People defecate in the streets. Crime is horrible. The sanctuary cities are not the place that new businesses are going to come to. I mean, certainly there's lots of tech businesses in the San Francisco greater metro area. But are we going to attract to a city like Tucson, with the size of Tucson? Are we going to attract new big businesses, new big national corporations to Tucson as a sanctuary city? I don't think so. And most leaders in the community don't think so either.
Aaron, is there a stigma attached with the term sanctuary city?
Well, I think my friend sitting next to me is certainly trying to make one, but he had to backtrack on his point there because he realized he was kind of walking into it. The cities that have named themselves sanctuary cities are in fact flourishing. They're where young people are going. They're where businesses are starting. They're where the economy of the future is, because they're places that people want to live. Tucson is the place that I want to live. And a big reason for that is the people that are here. The ones that are here as citizens, the ones that are here undocumented. We need to make sure that, you know, I agree with David, we need to make the city as safe as possible. And when people aren't seeking medical treatment, aren't going to law enforcement because they're afraid of the repercussions it might have for an undocumented member of their family, that's making my city more dangerous. We need to come up with a solution to this problem in Tucson. And again, Democrats are the ones charged with doing it. This is a initiative that was brought on by, you know, Democrats here in town as a grassroots organization. It's being debated by Democrats, whether it's, you know, city council members or mayoral candidates that don't disagree with it, and progressive Democratic groups that do support it, and Republicans are just sitting on the side.
But I'm not
kind of complaining about it.
Right, but to your point, I'm not so sure that it is this Democratic groundswell on this. I'm seeing people who are really far left, really behind this idea, and I'm seeing other Democrats not excited about it, including everybody who's running for mayor and the entire council. They don't think this is a good idea.
Yeah, you know, this is going to be on the ballot in November. And as a community, we're going to talk about it. I think it's got a really, you know, big hill to climb to get to 50% in the city. And, you know, if that's the will of the voters, that's great. But what's important is Democrats are trying to solve a really important problem in the city. And whether this is the solution or not, we'll find out in November, but we're going to keep talking about it and keep working to make sure that everyone in our community feels safe.
Okay, former U.S. Rep. Joe Walsh of Illinois has announced that he plans to challenge President Trump in the GOP primary next year. David, is this really going to make a difference?
Not at all. It's kind of a fool's errand. He has, you know, he doesn't like Trump. He wants to run against him. That's his prerogative. He won't get any traction, and President Trump will be the nominee, of course, and President Trump will be reelected. It's a non-event. It's just, as you would say, Aaron, a whiner, we'll see how that won't go anywhere.
Aaron, what's it say, though, that the president, who's very popular with a lot of Republicans, has another challenger because former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld also is in the race?
Well, it says that he hasn't consolidated what the natural base for a Republican president is, and that's why he's going to lose next November. No sitting president that's faced a primary has ever won re-election, and we're going to see that again. There's not much left of the Republican Party, of, you know, folks like John McCain, but the ones that are not comfortable with this president, and I think we've really seen a lot of reasons why in the last week alone.
Well, I would say that's the view of a Democrat looking from the outside in, who has no idea what the Republican Party is about right now. The Republican Party in all states...
Nobody in Southern Arizona knows what the Republican Party is about right now, because you're not putting candidates or issues in front of us to decide.
No one in the Republican Party in Southern Arizona supports any other candidate for president. We're all locked in and
you're
and
guaranteeing
working
not
very,
a single
hard.
Vote for anyone other than Donald Trump.
Do what?
You're guaranteeing not a single other vote for anyone other than Donald Trump in the Republican primary?
There may not be a Republican primary.
You're not even
going to
let your voters choose who they want as their nominee for president?
Outside the party. It will be held as a party vote so that independents can't pull Republican votes and vote for a Democrat in our primary. The primary this year in the state of Arizona will be a Republican primary where only Republicans can vote. And you will not see any votes for anyone but President Trump.
Not a single one.
Well, I can't guarantee that.
Okay, we are going to go to the live line here. Who do we have? You there?
Hi, it's yeah. Bill Buckmaster.
Hey, Bill.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm doing well, sitting here looking over at a beautiful seascape here on Vancouver Island. The dense fog has burned off. It's turning into a beautiful afternoon. Dan, I think your guys are doing a great job. It's a spirited conversation. I think the Sanctuary City movement is going to be one of the most important votes in at least 20 years in the city of Tucson. And I wondered what your guests think about whether there will be a large money-wise campaign mounted against it. And I'll take my response there and wish all of you the best.
Okay, get back to vacationing. David?
Yes, I think it'll be very large. The people that are committed to make sure that this does not get on the ballot are thoroughly committed. There will be a big effort, and there'll be money in the game to make sure all voters in Tucson know how bad this is going to be if it was to pass.
If there is a big money response to it, it's not going to be from the Republican Party. They didn't have the money to follow through with their court case. They're probably not going to be able to have the money to follow through.
I didn't
with
say it would be the Republican Party. I didn't say it would be the Republican Party. It's going to be citizens of Tucson, business people in Tucson, people that are concerned about jobs, in Tucson that are going to mount an opposition to this.
David, they turned in an awful lot of signatures relatively quickly. Do you think that that speaks to how it's going to do at the polls?
No, I don't. You have to remember that in our legal challenge to this, we audited every petition and we audited every signature. The county recorder and the city clerk threw out over 7,000 on their own of those petitions and got the number down to about 12,000 that they said were valid. Our lawsuit was in an attempt. We were very committed to it and thought we were right, an attempt to get that 12,000 number down to under 9, and the judge didn't agree with our logic. So it was not the big hit, the big home run on signatures that the proponents of this would want you to think.
Aaron, you said off the air that you weren't quite sure what you thought of all of this. You're still kind of mulling it over, the pros and the cons. And I know the prospect of losing money is weighs heavy on you. What do you think is going to be the eventually deciding point for you?
And I think the funding is a really important thing. And those that are against this initiative, frankly, I think have a lot more to explain there. Doug Ducey threw out the number $100 million. He's very good at identifying money that should be in Tucson that he doesn't send down here. The legislature, frankly, is being a little bit childish when they say that they're going to withhold money because cities sometimes occasionally disagree with them just a little bit. That's not how grown-ups legislate. And the federal money, in my understanding, any federal money that's been withheld from sanctuary cities has been restored after a court fight. And so I think it's probably the deciding factor for undecided voters in Tucson. I think both sides need to make a much stronger case in terms of why that will or won't be something that we're facing here in Tucson should this pass.
Go ahead, David.
I was going to say before we go off the air, I'd like to follow up on the point you made, Dan, about the Democrat view of Sanctuary City. And Aaron didn't really follow up on that. The current city council and all of the current candidates for mayor of the city, the police chief, Police Chief Magnus, all of these people are against a Sanctuary City. What you see is the Democrat Party of Pima County is all for it. The current leadership of the Democrat Party won their election same time I was reelected chairman of the Pima County GOP by 4 votes. The Democrat Party is very split into 2 camps in terms of their view of the world. The Democrat Party under Alison Jones' leadership has gone so far left that you now have the Democrat Party in Pima County opposing their own Democrat leadership, elected leadership. So I think that any unbiased viewer.
I'd love to hear your unbiased viewpoint.
Their unbiased view of this would be that there's something askew here. The elected Democrats are uniformly against Sanctuary City, but the Democrat Party and Joel Feinman, who was one of the defendants in our lawsuit, is for Sanctuary City. They're out of touch. Democrats and the Democrat Party in Pima County is out of touch. They're too far left.
Okay, that is going to wrap up the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at the corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge next to Copenhagen. My thanks to Aaron and David. We hope you guys have a great week. Great half hour, by the way.
It's always a pleasure. And Bill, if you're still listening, have a great vacation.
Great. You deserve it. When we return, we're going to be joined by District 4 Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie. If you have a question for him, call the live line at 790-2040. We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Moa Mosgallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shearer, sitting in for Bill, who's enjoying a wonderful vacation in Canada with his wife, Anne. In fact, he just called in a few minutes ago and with a lovely description of what we're not enjoying. So thanks, Bill. I hope you have a great rest of the week. No one deserves a vacation more than the hardest working journalist in Arizona, and that's you. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. It's not too late for a summer vacation. You might want to think about heading over there next month for the 15th annual Gila River Festival. Be sure to make time to explore historic downtown Silver City or visit the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of everything you're going to need to know, visit southwestnewmexico.org. On the line, we have Supervisor Steve Christie. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great, Dan. Can you hear me okay?
We can. If you could talk a little louder, we'd be better. So I'm sure you're off enjoying the summer. I got a question for you about that. Do things slow down in Pima County in the summer?
Generally speaking, a lot of people tend to leave. A lot of vacations are planned, and I think at least I've been a lifelong native of Tucson and in Pima County, and it seems historically that this is a rather slow time, particularly gearing up just before the Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, you know, my first job out of college is in Palm Springs, California, and that was mid-80s, and right around then it was kind of becoming a year-round community, and I keep looking for that in Green Valley, where about a third of the population leaves in the summer because they all live somewhere else. And I sense in the 10 years I've been there that it's becoming more year-round, which is really encouraging to see. So I just didn't know how it was going around the rest of the county. So,
well, yeah, I think that's probably a good indicator. You know, the Green Valley Council cancels its meetings or does not hold its meetings in the summertime, but the executive committee does. But
right.
I do know that there are less traffic blocks or anything that go down in the summer.
Well, six cars is still a traffic jam down there, and you'll just hear the swearing and everything when that happens. But we like it in the summer. They clear out a little bit. So you tell people you love the job. More than 2 years into it, are you still smiling? Be honest here.
I love being supervisor.
Good. I believe you, actually.
I love it.
I do. Well, people seem to like you, too. You're accessible, good staff, and they like the fact that you are an underdog with integrity. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that. We have five members of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, three Democrats, and then there is you and Allie Miller, who are the Republicans. What do you think Pima County would look like if we had three Republicans on the board?
Well, I think the most impactful element of a change that would happen if we had three Republicans in the majority is there would be a significant, particularly at the top, the very top, change in the county administration. I'm certain that if we had a Republican majority on there, probably by his own doing, Mr. Huckleberry would probably retire at that point. But it certainly would be, I think, inevitable with three Republicans that his contract would not be renewed, which comes up, it comes up in 2021 in January, our very first meeting.
So we just had a very lively discussion on the political face-off, you know, Democrat versus Republican, and the Republicans are not putting up a candidate for Tucson mayor, and it's really not surprising. And I think pretty much to synopsize everything, it's like, yeah, why waste your time? There are so many Democrats in Tucson. Do you think you'll ever see a Republican board majority again in Pima County?
Yeah, I do. I think there are indications that the folks of Pima County, the voters, are ready for a change. I think I sense it in my district. I get a lot of feedback from my constituents urging me to continue on in the direction I'm going in, and that they are sincere in their belief in saying, "Gosh, you need some help on that board. You really need some help." And I think it's cascading over into the other districts that are heavily Democratic and historically Democratic, that there is a sea change, I think, that can be made with just one person. But I think there's more vulnerability with the Democrats out there than meets the eye. And I think now this coming upcoming election season is a perfect opportunity to make that change. I think now better than ever.
Well, and I've thrown, you know, more knives at the board than anybody, but there are times when I have seen on certain issues that politics is pushed aside, and it is nice to see the board up there collaborating and talking and discussing these things, and I hope we can have a whole lot more of that. But a lot of it just comes down to ideology, and I will say that I've never seen a more political place than Pima County.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely that. But your first point is well taken, because since I've been on the board, we've been able to make some significant garnering of votes from the other side on some equally significant issues.
Yes.
In my own district, a very controversial and contentious project. We were able to get a third vote from the Democrats to support the opening of the bike ranch out in Vail, and that has a long history of contentiousness and opposition, but we were able to get that third vote that made, I think, an opportunity for a great project for Vail and for Pima County and for our region, for tourism and for its badging of bicycling. You know, in Green Valley, how big bicycling
sure.
is. Well, it's
sure.
that way out here as well. The second one is we were able to attract Democrat votes to send some additional monies down to Green Valley area for road repair, some additional $300,000 or $400,000, if my memory serves me correctly, that we would not have gotten had we not been able to make a forceful presentation about the needs of our roads in Green Valley to be fixed. And in order to accomplish that, it required some Democrat votes, which we were able to get. And then the third legislative victory, if you will, or achievement, I think, was finally getting that third vote over the Stone Garden grants that we fought
sure.
so long and hard and we were finally able to get that third vote. So I'm very proud of the efforts that we made in order to attract those votes. And we still have a long way to go in a lot of different areas, but it is a significant indicator that if things are on a more civil, less political level, which is very hard to do, things can get done, and especially in my district.
You're listening to The Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill, and we are talking to Supervisor Steve Christie, District 4, which is just a sweeping district, Green Valley all the way to the top of Mount Lemmon. I'm going to throw a pet peeve at you. My town, Sahuarita, is split into three supervisors. You, Sharon Bronson, Ramon Valadez. The Board of Supervisors is going to be redrawing the lines in the next few years. If you're still on the board, could you address this? We'd really kind of like to have one supervisor in Sahuarita.
And I'd love to be that supervisor. I don't know how else to explain it. I'll have to see how the process unfolds, but it makes perfect sense with considering the area that District 4, my district, covers. That Sahuarita makes sense for it to be included entirely in my district, and I would look forward very much to be the supervisor for all of Sahuarita. And I still have a hard time parsing exactly what block, what street, what address is Sharon's, what address is Ramon's, what is mine. So I think it lends itself to kind of a discontinuance of a process that really needs to be addressed as a singular representative supervisor over the area of Sahuarita, because it is growing. It has its special needs as far as accommodating that growth. And I think with what we have in my district, the best alternative to make sure that Sahuarita continues to grow in the terrific fashion that it is to include it in District 4 under what I would like to be as my supervision.
Very good. Well, we'll have a chance to address that in the next couple of years here. It is coming up on 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on with our guest, Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org. or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. The Danish Kringle, Bill loves to talk about them. They come from Mona's Danish Bakery at Swan and Sunrise, and they're incredible. I've had one. More so, Mona's does an awesome job with all European baked goods, breads, pastries, cakes, brownies, everything. They're open for lunch right now, and they offer a hot breakfast. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill, and we are talking with Supervisor Steve Christie. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 790-2040. Supervisor Christie, your staff's not getting a raise. How come?
Well, we don't believe that that's the proper way of accommodating raises. It's just a blanket stroke of the pen, automatic across the board. In my own business, my pay structure, my pay plan had specific benchmarks and hurdles to clear in order to get to a certain point within their employees' income. But they had to work for it, and they had to have results that were not only incremental but identifiable. And I don't see that in Pima County. It seems just kind of a rudimentary, run-of-the-mill type of thing. Okay, this year we're going to give everybody that's making this amount of money and working this amount of hours in this type of a capacity a, whatever, 2% increase. And I feel a lot of what we do also is to lead by example, but we don't participate with our staff in those raises. When we give raises to our staff members, it's because of jobs performed well, because of jobs well done. And I think that kind of a philosophy, that kind of practice could easily be put into county government. You know, anything from a road crew getting a project done finished, that could lead to a bonus or a higher pay raise or a consistent feedback of what I would call our customers, which is the voters, the residents of Pima County. You could get some sort of a customer satisfaction index that we used to have in the auto business. And those that were working closely with individual citizens, they would be able to get the feedback from those citizens. And if it was of a positive and productive nature, it could qualify for an increase in pay or at least a bonus or some incentive to do a more efficient, a more productive job for county residents. And I just don't see that imagination or that creativity in pay plans designed for everybody in the county administration. And consequently, I never instituted it in my own business, and I'm not going to institute it in my office.
And then just to give people a little taste of what it's like, you do have some discretion. So you are given an annual office budget, and I think it's around $400,000 a year, and you can do what you want with that, but you make people earn their raises.
Exactly. I have certain guidelines and restrictions of how that money can be spent,
sure.
But part of that does go to salaries and not even bonuses, but it sets pay scales and salaries and hours and job descriptions. And yes, I do have that discretion over my own staff, just like I had that discretion over my employees in my dealership for 40 years. I'm going to use that same type of approach when it comes to my county employees as I did my private sector employees.
Okay, Supervisor Steve Christie, we are going to go to the live line now, and we have Chuck. Chuck, you have a question for the supervisor.
Yes, Supervisor Christie. Last year, fiscal year 2019, which just ended the 31st of July, the county received over $95 million in HERF funds. Now, I understand that some of this money went to pay off the 97 road bonds and other incendiary things. How much of that $95 million actually went into road repair?
From the HERF funds?
Yes.
From the HERF funds, yeah. Just the HERF funds.
Okay, thank you, just Chuck.
I got to think that the number was somewhere spread throughout the county in the $15 to $20 million range in various increments and projects. But what the overall question that I think the caller was raising is something that I think really needs to be examined at the state legislature, and it should be a priority for counties, particularly Pima County, that we need HERF VLT distribution reform. It is a very convoluted, intricate, confusing manner that the HERF funds are distributed throughout the state. That's one. And B, there should be restrictions on where that HERF money can be spent. And certainly there are, but what the caller was alluding to is we get all this HERF money and very, very little of it goes to actually fixing our roads. 40 some million of it goes to paying for the transportation department. Of course, that's been changed now that they've let a lot of the employees in that department go. But unfortunately, that money that they saved by doing so is now going to road repair. We're seeing the fruits of that. And it's also coming out of the general fund, too, which means we're living within our means and not relying on bond passages or taxes for things such as road repair. But there needs to be significant HERF VLT reform and how it's distributed throughout the state and how the counties receive it and how they can be spent. Road monies should go to the roads. And I think this really needs a complete revamping and reformation.
You referred briefly to the PAYGO program, Pay As You Go. You really think it's going to work?
I'm very optimistic. I think there have been some very good examples throughout the state, particularly in Maricopa County, where they've instituted the Pay As You Go program and have been able to ascertain a listing of priorities of capital improvement projects, CIPs, and the boards of supervisors up there have identified what and come together on a number of occasions about projects that they've all agreed on need to be done. And one example that I've heard of is that they needed a redoing or a complete new courthouse a couple of years ago, and it was a major project, capital improvement project, some, I don't know, $300-$350 million, and they wrote a check for it. They didn't have to pass a bond, they didn't have to raise a tax. So I think by using those models, and you know, if you look at the success of Maricopa County, you can't get that's not a bad example of what you can do. So if we could people say, oh, well, we don't want to be another Phoenix. Well, can't we be just a little bit like them? And, just a little bit. And if we take that little bit and replicate some of the positive things that they're doing, such as this pay-as-you-go plan, and institute it in our own functions and our own practices, maybe, just maybe, we can turn things around economically and economic development-wise. And I think this is an exciting opportunity, and I support the pay-as-you-go plan, and I'm looking forward to seeing how my colleagues on the board and the county administrator process it and characterize it and itemize it.
Okay, we'll see. And I recently traveled up to Thatcher, which is next to Safford, and Eastern Arizona College up there. They want a new building, they save up for it, and then they buy it, and so they just don't borrow money. Yeah. What a strange thing.
A novel idea.
It does appear to be working for them, I'm going to say that. We're going to go back to the phones, and Ingrid, we have just a short amount of time here. Go ahead for your question for Supervisor Christie.
Well, because there's some little time, what I'll do instead is to thank him for attending to a matter that involved the money that is invested by our county, where it's going, what kind of investments are being made. I have to say that you, sir, did a fine, prompt job of getting this project completed, and I want to say publicly, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Ingrid. I remember all of that very, very well. You asked me a question, I think, on this show some months ago, and it was a very pertinent question and a very important one. Where does all our property tax money go? Who handles it? Where is it invested? What banks handle it? And it prompted me to my interest as well, and we did some research that I'm very grateful that Ingrid gave us the spark to look into these things, and we got together with Beth Ford, our county treasurer, and we were able to answer these questions, and that's very nice of you to say that, Ingrid. Thank you.
Very good. Supervisor Christie, it is always a pleasure to spend time with you, and we look forward to welcoming you to the office next time you're down in Green Valley in Sahuarita.
Well, you know I'll be there, and I don't know if I've told you this before or not, but I just want to make sure I do. I love being supervisor.
I've heard that. Thank you, Supervisor Steve Christie, again. Always great to spend time with you.
Thank you.
I am going to be back in this seat on Friday as we talk to Randy Graff. He is the new head of the Green Valley Sahuarita Chamber of Commerce, and we're going to talk about whether chambers are still relevant. Randy also is a former member of the Arizona State Legislature, and he has lots of great stories. Bill has several of us sitting in for him during his vacation, so don't forget to check his photos on his Facebook page. And like I said, there's lots already there. And of course, all of his shows are archived at buckmastershow.com. On behalf of the team here at the Buckmaster Show, you make it a terrific Monday.